The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am here tonight just all on my lonesome doing a solo episode. My name is Terry Cushman. I did a couple of these last winter. They were basically rant style episodes where I just went off. Mostly on Sam Kennedy, but other parts of the Red Sox regime as well. This is not what this episode will be. I do have some normal topics to discuss. Most notably, the one I'm going to kind of dive right into here. I am more convinced than ever that the Red Sox will trade Tristan Casas. I believe he's played his last game at Fenway. And he's going to be playing elsewhere for not only 2025, but the rest of his career. Here's how I've kind of reached that conclusion. We need to add at least one right-handed bat. Ideally two, but it's probably only going to be one. Let's just look at the layout right now. Let's start with the outfield. Jaron Duran, Sadon Rafaela, they're both everyday players. They're going to be in the lineup every day. Roman Anthony is coming, and he'll be here within a few months. So I don't think it makes a ton of sense to sign Teoscar Hernandez to a three-year deal worth roughly $60 to $70 million for a problem, again, that's only going to last about 3 months until Anthony is up. It just doesn't make any sense to allocate that type of a deal to a free agent in what's already a crowded outfield. So I don't see any major outfield moves happening. Let's go to the infield now. Raffy Devers, Trevor Story, Tristan Casas. They're all everyday players. They would be in the lineup every day. Second base is your only hole. Christian Campbell is coming as well. And he actually stands a more than slight chance to make the roster right out of spring training. So it wouldn't make sense to go sign Alex Bregman to a 6 or 7 year deal. That's supposedly what he's commanding. And it just doesn't make sense to do that for a problem that's only potentially 3 months long. Why would you give a guy a 6 or 7 year deal when you've got a guy just about to take that spot? So the infield is set. The only way you're going to acquire that impact right-handed bat is if you trade Tristan Casas or Masataka Yoshida. Now, I don't see how you're going to trade Yoshida. He's got 3 years left, $18 million per year for those 3 years, and he just had shoulder surgery. I don't think anybody's taking that contract or even a big chunk of it. So it keeps coming back to Tristan Casas. Now, trading Casas, you kind of kill two birds with one stone because you're freeing up a spot in that infield for that right-handed bat. But you're also probably going to bring back a starting pitcher in that deal. it just makes total sense to move Casas. Some might say, well, Duran's expendable. I mean, you got Abreu, you got Anthony coming. Rafaela is still going to be in the infield. You have Ref Snyder to platoon. But you're not hearing any rumors about Jarren Duran getting traded. I haven't heard a single one. There's been no momentum behind Duran getting moved. All the rumors have centered around Casas. He's going to get moved. Now, I'm a pro Casas trade guy. I'm all for it. Jeremy Schilling on the podcast, all for it. I think Jason Kelly is. Not sure about Nick Diamond. I think Charlie Smith is probably all for it. There's going to be a massive meltdown all across social media. And I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the meltdown. And if you're asking why we're going to trade Casas, well, for a lot of reasons. You're lopsided when it comes to lefties. You got way too many. He's also injury prone. So there's a lot of risk there. And you really have to blame a big part of it on Heim Bloom, because all of these obstacles we presently have are due to Bloom and his inability to balance this roster. When we drafted Tristan Casas, when we watched him come up through the minors, we all assumed he was going to be a long-term guy in Boston, but we didn't balance it out with any righties. All of our top prospects outside of Campbell are left-handed. If you want to know just how bad it was from the right-handed side during the Bloom era, here's the top four right-handed bats that he ever had during his tenure, and including guys that may still be on the roster right now. These are the best four that have played at the big league level, and they're not in any particular order. It's just a group of the four best. First one, Trevor Story. That's obviously been a bust. He's only played 163 games over the last 3 years due to injuries, due to the bracing procedure in his elbow, which is the Tommy John alternative. Lucas Giolito just had that. So he's essentially only played one third of the time that you were hoping he was going to play. That's Trevor Story. Number two on that list, Rob Ref Snyder. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about him, but he's not an impact guy. He's just a nice platoon guy who's very serviceable, who can destroy left-handed pitchers. Okay, so not a bad thing you have Ref Snyder, but it's not great that from 2019 until the present, he's one of your best four right-handed bats. These next two guys aren't even here anymore. One of them was Hunter Renfroe. We only had him in 2021. He blew away the expectations offensively and defensively. Was probably one of my favorite players that year. But Bloom shipped him after only 1 year. And here's the insane thing. All three players we got back in that trade, Alex Benelis, David Hamilton, Jackie Bradley Jr., all three of them are lefties. He traded one of your best right-handed bats for three left-handed hitters. You can't make this up. You can't make that up. The last right-handed bat of the Bloom era that spent some time at Fenway at the big league level, Kike Hernandez. Kike had a good 2021, was kind of a revelation out in center field, gave you some elite defense, a nice throwing arm, and then he came up huge in the postseason. So, but outside of that, it wasn't pleasant. 2022, 2023, just wasn't great. So those are the best four of the Bloom era. That's how bad it was from the right-handed side. So because we couldn't A, sign right-handed hitters, and B, acquire them outside of drafting Christian Campbell, that's a big reason why you're probably going to end up trading Tristan Casas. Now, I mentioned the injuries. His personality doesn't, it's not a perfect fit. He doesn't seem to be clashing with any of the current guys on the roster. But when he first came up, he was pissing off some of the veterans. And I think this past year, he kind of pissed off Alex Cora by misleading the media as to where he was in his rehab, where he was literally just making stuff up. And when the media verified everything, fact-checked everything, it turned out Casas was essentially lying to them about certain aspects of his recovery. That makes the manager's job a little harder because now he has to drop what he's doing and then focus on that for a few minutes. Probably pissed Breslow off. So Tristan Casas himself is probably going to be a small reason as to why he gets traded, but I think it's going to happen. Now, who's it going to be? I don't know. My choice, obviously, if you've listened to recent episodes, is Nolan Arenado. There was an interesting development with Arenado in the last few days. The Cardinals, who he currently plays for, had basically the framework of a trade worked out with the Houston Astros. Nolan Arenado has a no-trade clause, so he can veto any trade. And that's what he did in the late stages of that deal. So the Cardinals and the Astros worked over the course of what I'm assuming was at least a few days to try to get this deal to happen. And then Arenado rejected it at the last minute. He exercised, the no trade clause. So, and it's his right to do that. That was built into his contract. Now, he does have a list of teams he's willing to be traded to. The Astros were not one of them. Three of those teams are in Southern California. Without looking, I'm pretty sure he's from Southern California. So those two teams were, number one, the Dodgers, which is probably his top pick. That's ideally where he would go if the Dodgers were willing to do that. The other team is the Padres. The other team, surprisingly, is the Angels. I don't know why he'd want to go there. You're not going to win there, but they're on the list. There are three teams out east on this side of the country that he's also willing to go to. The first one is the Phillies, understandable, perennial World Series threat. Lots of cool guys on that roster. Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, just to name a few. A stud pitching staff, which Arenado has never had at any point in his career. Colorado, always bad pitching. St. Louis wasn't terrible, but they weren't loaded with arms. And so that's one team. The Mets are another. And then the last team is the Boston Red Sox. He's willing to come to Boston. Now, the interesting thing here is, why aren't the Yankees on the list? Why does he want to play in New York? That's interesting. I can't answer that. But one key factor he would probably prefer Boston over New York is that he would be reunited with his former teammate, Trevor Story, who played right next to him at shortstop all those years in Colorado. So that's in, it's just, it's something to keep in the back of your mind. Maybe Maybe he thinks it'll be cool to play with Trevor Story again. In Boston, if you believe the hype and the rhetoric, they're trying to do stuff. They already did trade for Garrett Crochet. They're in the market for another starting pitcher. We'll see how that goes. But at present, Arenado is still with the Cardinals because he vetoed that trade. Another interesting thing about that trade, which just makes me want Arenado even more, is that if it happened, the Astros were only going to be paying $15 million a year, which, you say what you want about Nolan Arenado. I mean, he's worth that. I mean, that's, you're paying well below market for, I don't know if you still want to call him a stud, but a very serviceable player that's going to impact your team in a lot of positive ways. So that just makes me want Arenado even more. There aren't any rumors in the last 24 hours since he's rejected that trade to the Astros, but I hope it heats up. I hope it heats up. When you look at the Houston deal, if winning is important to him, Houston's probably not where you want to go because they just traded Kyle Tucker, their best player, to the Cubs. And they're not committing to Alex Bregman. They're not trying to bring him back. So that's just a team right now that, yeah, they could make the playoffs, and they might, but it's not the Astros of the last decade that made it to the ALCS 7 or 8 years in a row. Like, he's essentially missed that party, and I think he knows that. So he's not willing to go there. Reports did come out after that he might revisit that possible trade scenario later on in the offseason. But it seems like he wants to see how the other dominoes will fall. Does he still have a chance to go to the Dodgers or a Southern California team? If the Red Sox are high on his list, does the stars align where Casas gets moved? That frees up Arenado to play first base. He did say he would be willing to do that. He's never played first base. He's played third his whole career. So we'll see, but it's something to keep an eye on. There also has been some continued buzz around Alex Bregman. I can't remember if it was John Morosi or someone. It was someone notable at the national level said the Red Sox are still one of the front runners to land Alex Bregman. Now, if that happens, I'm assuming he's going to first. I mean, you could start him at second base, but as soon as Campbell comes up, you're going to have to pivot him over to first because Story's going to play short. Devers is playing third. We know he's not coming off of that. We've covered it quite a bit. So I'm guessing Bregman would play first base potentially. And I mean, if it happens and Casas gets moved, I don't know where I'm at with Bregman. I still don't hate it, but it's not my preferred scenario. I don't want to give him a 6 or 7 year deal. And at this point, quite frankly, I'm skeptical if he's even going to get 6 or 7 years because his market isn't hot. There's no present bidding war going on for him right now. There's not a ton of momentum, so you would need essentially a bidding war to get him a 6 or 7 year deal, and I'm just not seeing that. The Yankees could get him. The Tigers are sort of linked to him, and I think that's just because of the AJ Hinch connection. The Astros aren't ruling him out, but they're still not in a hurry to bring him back. And then you have Boston, and I think the continued Boston angle is because of Alex Cora. I think he's the number one guy Alex Cora wants this winter. I think Cora prefers Bregman over Teoscar Hernandez. He probably prefers Bregman over Arenado. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. And if we do get Bregman, is it mostly because of Cora and Breslow felt the need to appease Cora, or is it mutual? Did Breslow really want him to? That's how they'll pass it off regardless. They're not going to admit that there was any infighting about it, but if we can only be a fly on the wall and, you know the real details behind it. But there's a lot going on there. And if you're a Teoscar Hernandez guy and he's your guy that you're clinging to the hopes of that he'll come to Fenway, for him specifically, it hinges entirely on whether or not they can move Yoshida. And I don't think they can do it. I don't think they can do it before spring training. I think teams need to see him, you know, taking swings in game action, and they want to probably look at all the advanced data. Is the power still there? You know, all the StatCast real-time stuff that's going to compile data over that time. So I just don't see... I don't see it happening, because Hernandez would probably have to be the DH. And I just don't see it. So I hope I'm wrong. That's something I would love to be wrong about, but I think we're stuck with Yoshida until at least spring training. You might be able to offload the contract at that point. And if you don't offload it in spring training, maybe in the early part of the season, another team will have an injury to one of their key left-handed bats, and then maybe they'll come calling the Red Sox, and maybe you can move Yoshida at that point. But again, I think we're stuck with him. Here's a scenario I threw out there. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I don't know if I want it to happen, but I took the temperature of it with all the guys on the crew. And surprisingly, just about all of them were open to it. What if you just did a straight up trade with the Yankees? Masataki Yoshida for Giancarlo Stanton. Now, a lot of you right now are probably thinking, why in the world would you do that deal? A couple things. The money is actually kind of similar, because the Marlins are going to be paying a lot of Stanton's money. Not a lot of it, but a decent chunk of it. So Yoshida's owed $56 million over the next 3 years. Stanton's only owed $10 million more than that for the next 3 years. So $56 million versus $66. The Yankees might prefer Yoshida because they got the short porch out and left. So getting a left-handed hitter kind of suits them. And for the Red Sox, it's essentially the same thing from the right side. Stanton would just destroy that green monster and probably golf shots over it. And say what you want about Stanton, but his exit velocity still ranks among the highest in Major League Baseball. A top three without looking is, I'm guessing, where he still is. So you could kind of keep him at DH there, and hopefully he stays relatively healthy. But it's a right-handed bat that could do some damage at Fenway. An interesting development happened with the Yankees that could help facilitate a move like this. They acquired Cody Bellinger from the Cubs, and I don't know who was in the deal for Bellinger, but I do know the Cubs are covering a small chunk of Bellinger's contract. So when any team has to eat money on your contract, it's a bad deal. And there were so many Red Sox fans last year that wanted the Red Sox to figure out how to get Bellinger into the lineup. And that wasn't going to work because he's a lefty. It just made no sense, and it would have been a risky signing. and it didn't really pay off for the Cubs, and it wouldn't have for the Red Sox. But the interesting development, though, is I'm making sure I get this right. Cody Bellinger's wife, who he's presently with, married to, seems to be a healthy, happy marriage. Her ex-boyfriend is Giancarlo Stanton. And now Bellinger and Stanton are teammates. So I'm sure there's probably going to be no drama there. I doubt there'll be any drama at all, but maybe it would make Stanton a little bit more open to waiving his no trade clause to come to the Red Sox. This is an extreme hypothetical. There's no rumors behind it. It's probably not going to happen, but it is a creative outside the box thing you could do. It's a better fit than Yoshida being here, but it's still a guy that's going to be strictly a DH, and I don't know if that's what the Red Sox want, but I figured I'd throw it out there. Jason Kelly's open to it. Nick Diamond said straight up, I would prefer Giancarlo Stanton in that situation. I'm not sure about Charlie or Jeremy, but I don't know where I even stand, but it's a scenario and it could work. So just figured I'd throw that out there. Let's move over to pitching real quick. There seem to be a lot of rumors centered around Luis Castillo because apparently the Mariners weren't willing to move any of their young guys. We tried to get Brian Wu and Bryce Miller, and we were going to put Casas in a deal for one of those two, and the Mariners shut it down. But apparently they're willing to deal Luis Castillo, and there were rumors out there that the Red Sox might be willing to do that deal. But the more I think about it, the more I think that deal was never going to happen, because Castillo, he's 32 years old, which is fine, but he's got 3 years remaining at essentially $25 million per year. So what makes it far-fetched to me is, okay, so you're going to take on all that money and give up prospects when you can just go get a Sean Manaea or a Walker Buehler type guy, or even Corbin Burns, hopefully, and give up zero prospects. Manaea and Buehler would be similar money. So go get one of them and not give up any prospects. I just don't see why Breslow would send prospects to New York, to Seattle for Castillo. It just makes no sense. Now, maybe they were going to put Yoshida in the deal and the money would offset a little bit and then there'd be a prospect tied in. I don't know. That's still far-fetched anyway. So I don't think the Red Sox were really after Castillo. And since the last recording, honestly, I have no idea where the Red Sox stand. There was a tweet today from Peter Gammons. He's apparently talked to some front office executives across the league, and they're all saying that Breslow is one of the most aggressive guys right now, trying to facilitate another trade. Robert Murray, who writes for FanSided, also echoed those same sentiments. So apparently Breslow's trying to maybe acquire another guy via trade, and I'd just rather go get Buehler or Burns if it's me. Spend money, keep your prospects. But one of the reasons he could be trying to facilitate a trade is because maybe they're looking at an extension on Crochet, and maybe that money is going to be, you know, the big splash, so to speak. And then what he's trying to do on the trade market right now is get a longer-term controllable guy who they don't have to worry about extending, who will essentially be cheap for the next few years. So maybe that's what they're trying to do. I have no idea. But if we're going to get a major development here, it looks like it's going to be a trade. Now, for the record, I'm open to a trade if it's the right guy. I'm open to so many things right now. I just want a guy who profiles as at least a number two starter. I don't care who it is. 5 years ago, I'd probably be extremely picky. I'd probably hate every notion about going to get Sean Manaea. But having been a survivor of the last 5 years of the Bloom era and of a bad first year of the Breslow era, Sean Manaea sounds pretty good to me. You got other guys in that rotation that are probably going to be solid. You know, if Bayo takes a step forward, if Hauk can replicate what he gives you last year, and then if Giolito can at least be serviceable, you're looking at a pretty good rotation with Garrett Crochet at the front of it. And then if you can add one more, like I was just outlining, you're in decent shape, even if it's a Manaea type guy. So we'll see what happens there. But getting back to Casas, I think he's gone. I don't see a scenario in which he's on this roster by the time spring training starts. I could be wrong. And the reason I could be wrong is because perhaps Breslow just doesn't know how to do it. But all the rumors right now are kind of centered around Casas, and we'll see what happens. But the outfield is pretty much set. The infield is pretty much set. I don't see how you're adding anybody without moving Casas or Yoshida. So I will wrap on that. We'll be back on Sunday. And that could be part five of the MLB trade rumors, which will be the final installment, because we're covering the top 10. And I know some guys have come off the board, Blake Snell, Juan Soto, but there's still some other guys in there we can cover. Maybe a development happens. I don't know. It doesn't feel like anything is imminent. And if you go back to last year, the moves that did happen were between Christmas and New Year's. That week there, that's when the sale trade went down. That's when the Giolito thing happened. So perhaps that's how it's going to unfold this year as well. But there's still at least a slight chance with a few days heading into Christmas here. Some type of development could happen, but we'll see. So have a good rest of your week, a good weekend as well, and we'll be back with you Sunday night for a Monday morning drop. Take care.